as assistant pastor every fifth Sunday. We preach Sunday morning. I don't know that we'll ever gather together such as this again. There's some that's not here. And then there's some that's here that maybe as we would gather again that would be missing. And we were, a Wednesday night, we were thinking about a particular passage of Scripture. I know that you, those that are familiar with God's Word, would remember when Christ Jesus come, I believe it's in the second chapter of John, and He come and He found the money changers in His in the Lord's temple. The Bible said that He platted a whip and He drove them out. And then the disciples, looking at it, they recall a passage of Scripture that we're going to read. And the 69th Psalm, the 9th verse, says, "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." We were thinking about that Wednesday night, and we was watering the garden yesterday morning and thinking about what does it mean that the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. You know, we live in a culture today that there's a lot of people get excited for a lot of different things, but I don't know that you could classify very many in this world as being those that were ate up with zeal to go to God's house. We can turn, if you want to, into the 84th Psalm, and we're going to read the first part, and we might just read all of it. It says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living of God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them." And then the seventh, it says, "They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." And we were thinking about that. A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. If you was to figure out how many days, that's a little bit over 2.5 years, 1,000 days. And more or less what David's saying here is that one day in God's house, I'd trade that for over 2.5 years. And I was thinking about that, and we was out watering in the garden, and we're just simple folk, and watching and concerned about, you know, I don't understand. I ain't much of a gardener, but we got some tomato plants are doing real good, but we got some in another spot that ain't. And as we was watering and wondering about these things, it come to our mind about the people that gathered at this church, and our wife got up and sang, and I was thinking about her childhood, and I couldn't help but think that it weren't much different than my mama's, and I couldn't help but think it weren't much different than my grandfather's, and that, you know, why is it that people don't have a zeal for God? I believe it goes back to what the Bible says, and we could flip there if you'd want to. It says, and boy, I feel good today. It says in 2 Peter, in the 2nd chapter, in the 22nd verse, "But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to its own vomit again, and the side that is washed in the water and in the mire." I'm afraid why we like to you in God's house today. It's because it ain't nothing more than a hall porch and a dog grooming facility. You know, I've had a few pigs in my life. We never had a saddle, except when I was little.
Well, you know what? Well, they might not be filthy. And one or another arrested me. But they sure ain't clean. And you know, it don't take a genius to figure out. I can scribble on a hog. I can shave it. I can take a dog. And I can cut its hair off. You know, they've got hairless dogs now. I've got a little rat terrier, Jack Russell, Russell Cross. And I can shave it. But it still don't change what it is. And it ain't even a hairless dog. That hair will come back. But my Lord has told me that he can make us a sheep. And he'd be the shepherd. Oh, Lord of God. Oh, what we need today. Well, we don't need more clean hogs. We don't need well-groomed dogs. What we need is a born-again experience of Jesus Christ. That's something that makes me want to go to the house of God. There are so many people that say, well, I'm pretty good. I love the Lord. Yet they don't enter the house of God. And why is that? Because it's not a place for hogs and dogs. But I want to tell you, there ain't one here that didn't fit that bill. I can remember, though the Lord would change your heart and change the yard, though we be his sheep and the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. When me and my wife come together, we had little children, but they weren't sheep. They were not born into sin. Oh, God don't have no grandchildren. And I'll think about it. When I looked in the face of my firstborn son, Riley Hensley, I had two sisters, and I was in the middle, and it's pretty rough. And I'm having no brothers. I still hold it against my parents. But I wanted a son so bad, because I didn't have a brother. I wanted to be able to take him out and go hunting and fishing and whatnot. And you know what? When I looked in the face of my son, I held him in my arms. I looked down and I thought, oh my, he's so precious. But the Bible teaches me that he's born into sin. He weren't born a little lamb. He were nothing more than a hog or a dog. You say, Daryl, that's awful. I'm talking about your kids that way. I want to tell you, I can say all manner of things, but the truth is the truth. There's people in there who say, oh, I'm a good Christian. And their lives are disarrayed. They just been to the hot water. They just been groomed, but they're still holes and holes. My Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll make you one of my sheep. Listen, you're not a wayward sheep out there. But the Bible teaches me that you're nothing more than a dog. Now let's think about it. The Lord warned his disciples, and he said, there are wolves in sheep clothing. What is a wolf? It ain't nothing but a wild dog. And there's people in the church today that is led away and is discouraged and is confused. Other people, but they ain't sheep. They just went on the wool. Just like I can shave my dog or wash my hog. They ain't no more sheep than in that hog in the mire or my dog on his chain. But there's a lot of people say, looky there, he calls himself a Christian, and look at him. You know what? We live in a society and a culture today that everybody's going to heaven. Well, listen, there's a place called heaven, but everybody ain't going there. Because if everybody was going there, it'd be nothing no different than here on this earth. There's people today that say, well, Daryl, if God exists, why is there knew right from wrong. And I see how I broke my mama's heart. Oh, and I disobey her. And more importantly, I disobey God. I can see. Oh, like her yesterday. And the tears running down my daddy's face. And my mama's face. And I didn't want to disappoint them. Oh, just like my son. I was a dog. I didn't have no choice in the matter. The Bible teaches me that my father, the Lord God Almighty, was saved himself. Listen, we just preached the other week that Satan's job is to come, to lie, to kill, and destroy. He not just want no whisper of sweet things in your ear, but he wants you to believe on, and he wants, as it were, to take your life. His mommy could have so much content. I used to believe he was to tell a man, just don't go to church, sit at home. I had a grandfather, my sister, already mentioned him. That was a godly man. I can remember. He's about 6'6". His wrist was the size of my ankles. And he was a big man. But he had a big God. I can remember. He'd stand there and he'd get his breeches like this. And he'd cry out and try to warn the sinner, "You must repent. You're turning it over a new leaf. You're still an old filthy book. You need to have the Lord write your name in the book. You need a born again experience. Everything else is a far second. The world says, "Oh, I'm all right. I just need to quit this and quit that." But the blood Jesus Christ is on your hands. What are you going to do? Oh, bow it. Other tradition says, as he washed his hands, and as the Bible says, he washed his hands of it. And he says, "The blood, it's not on my hands, but it's on you too." Well, tradition teaches us that that man went crazy scrubbing his hands. Oh, why? Because soap and water can't get the blood of Jesus Christ off your hands. He died on Calvary, so I may have to die in my sins. But just because he died for all does not mean all is going to heaven. But it's those that claim the blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
All right, I claimed it there a long time ago. If you claimed it, he's going to change you. Oh, what we have is nothing more than what the Pharisees and the Sadducees had. They considered themselves to be righteous. And they said, "Well, I sacrifice. I don't do nothing on the Sabbath." The Bible says that man was not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. What's that mean? That means we need to come to God's house. And not only do we need to come to his house, but it's for our benefit. You know, a lot of times people say, "I'll do all right. I'll come when I feel like it." Listen to me. David said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than live in a tent of wickedness." Listen, there's joy in sin for a season, but there's a payday coming. I've seen men at gate that able to, for whatever reason, because they were able, I guess, to have willpower or whatnot, but they were able to live a wicked life, gain great wealth, and even be able to hand that out and give to a college or a hospital or whatever. And if you didn't know their heart, you'd say, "There's a man that's happy. There's a man that's content." But if he ain't born again, it don't matter how he got that money, whether it was hook or crook, or whether it was fair. He's going to have to stand before God. And the Bible tells me, naked, without the robe of Jesus Christ, then there's others, kind of like my family was, that did not have, as it were, the control to get it all together. I can remember my grandfather talking about his childhood, and I can remember he had relatives that lived next to him in a trailer. And when I was a kid, there for a little bit, when we moved up from North Carolina, we was there and we stayed. And I can remember hearing such a ruckus over there, people hollering and screaming, falling out of the trailer truck, somebody jumping on top of them. It weren't too long after that, that one of their one of my granddaddy's relatives, one of the family members, was chasing him around the trailer with a gun and shot him dead. But as I was a kid, me and my cousin, Darren Hamm, we go over there through the orchard and tear through that picket fence, and we see them children bawling, laying there, sitting in their own bar, naked. And he looked at him and hard. And my granddaddy, he come and gathered us and didn't want us to move. But listen, it's only difference. But between my granddaddy and those on the other side of me, they were kin, they were blood. You can't say, well, some are born to good families and others ain't. The only difference was he was one of the sheep, and Christ Jesus was the shepherd. And they were hogs and dogs. I say that not this morning, looking down my nose, because I've already declared to you, I was born a dog, and I lived like a hog. But when Jesus came into my life, he changed me for the better. Oh, you can say all the right words. You can say I need to be baptized. Oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And you're falling into the lie of Satan. You're stealing your chains. But Jesus Christ is one of them that can set you free. I know a few men, but Jesus have broke the chains of sin, and yet they're still content to dwell in the dungeon. Oh, let us be as John and Peter when the Lord rattled the gates of the prison and flee from there, never to look back and to look forward. Oh, we already said, same as John, it's the last he will kill and destroy. Jesus Christ said, now listen to me, he said, if your hand offended, cut it off. If your eye or your foot, cut your foot off and pluck your eye out. Oh, why? It is better to enter into heaven, man, than to be cast into hell. Oh, now listen to me. All things we lose in this life for Christ shall be restored in the life to come. Had you no legs and no arms, and you were in hell, the pain would be no more severe. Listen, so many people say, I don't want to come to the Lord. I might lose this or I might lose that. Yeah! But look, if you don't, you'll lose everything. And the Lord said in His Word,
thank you, Lord,
that it shall be fulfilled. Jesus Christ spoke of hell a whole lot more than he ever spoke of heaven. Yet when people die, and they want a preacher to, as it were, preach them into heaven, well, there ain't no doing that. We talked to a man at work. It was his pastor, priest of a family member of ours, preached his funeral, and he talked and talked about it. And I just had to tell this guy at work, I said, you know what? I thought I was at the wrong funeral. But you know what? We can tell all manner of lies and it don't change. Don't you? You can tell me. You can, look. You can come up to me and you got to watch a flattering tongue, don't you? You can come up to me and say, boy, Darrell, you're pretty. I ain't never seen somebody with such thick hair. Look at there. I know you're lying.
You can say, Daryl, why you look as slender as when you married your wife. Wouldn't make it true. When I married my wife, I didn't have to wear these elastic pants. My parents bought these for me. Look at that, they stretch. I've been needing new pants for a long time, but I got these stretchy ones. But there comes a point they don't even stretch. I got a collar. It's got a button on it with elastic on it. See that? That's where as my neck gets bigger. I don't have to get new clothes, but you know what? You could tell me I'm as thin as I've ever been. You're handsome, but it don't make it so. But you know what? There's been so many people believe the lies of Satan. Just like I might believe that flattering tongue that when I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I say, Daryl, you know what? You are kind of handsome. And yeah, you got a little bit under here. But you're just as thin around the eyes as you ever been. But you know what? It wouldn't make it so. We live in a world full of lies. We have presidents, politicians, and whatnot. They can say one thing one minute and turn around and say the opposite thing the next. And there's nobody to say, wait a minute! What about the truth? So we think the truth don't matter no more. Well, there's a lot of people going to have a rude awakening. There's going to be some that says, the Bible says, Lord, did we not cast out devils in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Listen, God has given us, as it were, a mirror. I get up and I got to go in the bathroom. We've got a mirror there in the bedroom, and I guess I could sit down and look at it. But in the morning when I get up to go to work, it's dark, and I can go into that mirror, and I can flip on the light, and an overhead light about right there comes on. But if I want to get a little bit closer look, I hit another switch, and there's these lights come on above the mirror, and I can see myself as good as I need to. I don't know that there's people in the world that don't lie. And if we believe those lies, well, then we're going to excel, start be living that lie. But guess what? The Lord has not left us in the darkness, but He has given us a lamp unto our feet and a light for the pathway. And what is it? It's God's Word. And all we got to do is look in it and read it for ourselves. Or you could believe me. You could believe that one. Or you could believe this one. Well, there was a man at work. I worked with him. He still works there. He still works. I used to work nights and long days now. But we had a... it was right after 9/11. And I pretty much told him, I said, look, I said, we've got a problem in our country. You know, there's a lot of pretenders. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians. But you know what? If they get back to the basics, if they get back to God's holy word, they're going to treat their neighbor nicer. They're going to be kinder. They're going to be more honest. I said, but you know them Muslims? If they get back to their Quran, they're going to kill me and you. If there's a revival in a Christian church, the community's going to know it. And they're going to start conducting themselves like Christ. But if there is a revival, as it were, I wouldn't want to call it that, but if there was a resurgence of getting back to the basics of the Quran, they're going to kill you. Because that's what it says. Well, here I thought I was here in Lenin, Missouri, in the middle of the Midwest. And I didn't think that I was going to offend anybody by saying that. There's two of them that got really mad by that. One fellow told me, he said, I've been a Christian all my life. I was raised to hold witness. And then he went on and on and on. I thought, my God. Then another man said, well, he said, you know what? He said, I don't know. That Quran, after all, might be right. The Bible might be right. He says, I don't really know. I said, have you ever read either one of them? Well, no, I haven't. I said, listen. These are questions with eternal consequences that would do us well to be informed. Jesus Christ wanted all of mankind to make an informed decision. Or we can just bluff it. Do you ever do that? Take a school, multiple choice questions. Anytime the answer says all, or every time, I said, that's a direct giveaway, isn't it?
Those are very few things that are all the time. I don't care what laws it is, but there's always, it seems to be, as it were, some exception to the rule. So they teach you, you can get on the internet, and they try to teach you how to be an efficient and an effective guesser. And they give you these little clues, and you can pass the test without knowing the answer, by through a process of elimination. But that doesn't work when they ask the question, and there is no multiple choice. And would you really want to risk it all if it was your soul and eternity? Would you want to just roll the dice? I've heard of people, there's a guy at work. He goes down there to them casinos and he says, I usually always come back even. And he really likes going down there. But you know what? I was raised kind of, we weren't real poor, but we were poorer than a lot of people around us. And I was always taught the value of a dollar. I listened to my grandfather talking. And gambling never appealed to me. Till I was about 17 years old, and I was working at a machine shop. And we started pitching quarters. And I had this foreman. And he had a gambling problem. We'd go down, I was working in a paint booth. And I didn't really, I was raised in a Christian home. And I never really thought of it as gambling, believe it or not. I just thought this was a game of skill and I was going to take his quarters. He'd come down there and we'd pitch quarters against the wall. After about 2 weeks of it, it occurred to me one day I was gambling. But I was just taking his money every time. There weren't no gamble. Right? Well then, there was this other guy they started hiring. That was right there at the second week of it. And all three of us was pitching quarters. And I didn't always get the money. Then that's when it occurred to me I was gambling. Because I wasn't leaving with the money. But you know what? Would you want to pitch quarters? The winner took all. The loser was cast in the hell forever. Listen, you don't have to gamble. I don't have to. You know, if you ever listen, and I wouldn't suggest it, but Oprah Winfrey, she'll have these spiritual gurus on there. And they'll say, alright, they'll take this Eastern mysticism and they'll try to mix it all in with the Bible. And then they'll say, well, what Jesus really meant to say when he said this was this. And you know what? I might buy that if Jesus come to deceive. If Jesus come to show us the way.
Right.
So we can believe it for what it says. But the Bible says we can believe a lie and be damned. We're going to read just a little bit. You know what? When we're trying to witness to the lost, they tell us, well, I'm pretty good. All we need to do is read the Ten Commandments, don't we? There's not a one of us at some point in our life has it broke them. Some of us, I think, have been on breaking every one. You know, somebody said that they're the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. But you know, we do live in a culture today that acts just as if they were just suggestions, good to live by. But if you want to turn into the 50th Psalm, we're going to start with the 7th verse. It says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thine house, nor he goat out of thy folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? See, thou hatest instruction, and cast my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou gavest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one of as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before mine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. See, I would like to apologize for the preachers of this world. I'd like to apologize for the so-called Christians of this world. Because God, when He sent His Holy Son, it was to save those that were lost and to change them. But there are so many wolves in sheep's clothing that today the world is confused in the fact that they look. See, we are to be a representation of Christ. And they look at the organized church and they say, there's a Christian. That's a Christian. And they're wicked, they steal, they lie. They do all manner of sin and they say, well, if that's a Christian, his God must be just as perverted. But we find out here, just as it says in the 21st verse, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself. You know what? The Bible speaks about those that judge themselves and by their neighbor. When we stand before God, He's not going to measure you up whether you were better than your neighbor, better than your brother, better than your sister or your mother. But He's going to look at Christ. And who of us can stand before Him? And the only way to is to have the blood of Jesus Christ on your heart. If it's in your heart, you'll not be a hog. You won't be a dog, but you'll be one of the sheep. Let's get a song to sing. Thank you for your attention. What shall I do? You know, my wife heard a song this week. And a man, I guess he calls his friend, and he's asking his friend, help me get on my knees so I can get on my feet. Oh, there's a lot of people, ain't they, out there that want us just to pick them up and set them on their feet. We have not the ability to. I would love to tell you, as it's been mentioned here several weeks, that there's decisions that have consequences, right? We all know that. I broke the law. I was speeding in town. I got a ticket a while back. There's consequences to our actions. But when it comes to moral restraint, if we have not the love of God in our heart, if we've not been born again, these decisions are impossibilities. Yes, we can get it right here and there, but what we need is a heart change. We need to cry out to Jesus Christ and let His Holy Spirit take over our life. You say, I think I can do it on my own. Can you? Have you? Just look back. My track record at 12 was terrible. If I would have continued on my way, there's no doubt what I would have been. I can look at Donnie, my cousin. Darren that peeked through that fence with me and horror of what was going on over there. Darren is in the same spot as my cousin Donnie. It's not who your earthly father is, but it's whether your heavenly Father is Christ Jesus, or if your father is Satan himself. Let's get some songs singing. Have you been born again? I've been to the county fairs. I've seen those kids washing hogs. Only to see that thing find the dirtiest corner in that pen. Just to lay down a minute. I seen them fancy poodles. How they'll trim them up in all manners, but guess what? They're still a dog. You know, we could wash, we could groom hogs and dogs, but the Lord is the only one that can change you from being that to being one of His sheep.